Episode 301, Maybe It's Time to Forget.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, again, everybody, and welcome to the daily edition of the Trigg Podcast of Joy and Gozo. To be here with my gozo bell, my gozo hat, my gozo mug here on this beautiful September 11. And beautiful, I say that with a lot of prayers and a lot of pain. Today, indeed, is the 17th year anniversary of that horrible day that most of us remember, September 11th. 2001, when almost 3,000, if maybe it's even 5,000 people died on that tragic day in several cities, most of all, of course, New York City. And I was actually there, not on that day, but we went to the memorial, I think it was two summers ago, and it really impacted me, just being there, seeing the thousands of names of the people that were in those buildings. We heard many stories. Of course, we saw flowers, memorials, people taking pictures. Not just tourists, but also family members that go there every year to remember their loved ones. We also went across the river, I guess, or the area there to New Jersey, where a lot of the people lived. So I didn't know this, but I think it was something like 80% of the people worked for this one company. And most of those people traveled from New Jersey on a boat over to New York City and to the Twin Towers. And so on the New Jersey side of things, there's another memorial right there at the docks or at the port. And so that was also very, very moving. And I think they even had an actual metal beam that I think may have even, I don't know if it flew all the way down to New Jersey in the explosion or they brought it over. Either way, it was just a very, obviously a painful event, a horrible event. But, you know, I want to give you a different perspective that I believe it's from God. I just want to say that I think it's actually time to forget 9/11. You know, obviously the sentiment and the tweets and all that come out every year is never forget, right? Hashtag never forget. And of course, I understand we will never forget the loss of people. Of course, we should never forget the loss of our loved ones, of course. So I'm not talking about forgetting the death and the loss of people and of humanity, of course not. What I'm alluding to is what's happened since to our country. Here's what I believe happened on that day. I believe that Satan took control of our country on 9/11/2001. Here's what I mean. Those airplanes came from Iraq. Those airplanes were manned by terrorists that were demonic and that were demon-possessed. I mean, no one that has a heart for God or that has any, of course, desire for good things in this life will crash hundreds of people in two airplanes or three. I mean, there were three or four airplanes into buildings in the middle of the morning. Anyway, this was satanic. This was a satanic attack upon the USA, upon the United States of America. And say what you say what you may about the country and our country, but this country is still trying very hard, and sometimes we fail at trying to stay focused on God and trying to still give people freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and that's why we all love the USA. And I absolutely, God bless the US of A. Of course I say that, and I believe in that. But on that day, our country was attacked by Satan himself. I believe that his most powerful demons came in those airplanes, and they have not left since. I mean, just notice what's happened to our country since that day. Immediately, we went into a panic against Muslim people and against anyone that looked like a terrorist. I mean, this is horrible to even say now. Then after that, the horror of just being in an airplane. I mean, I remember, I think I flew, I don't know, the following year in an airplane, and I felt scared. third, the TSA stuff, all the invasion of your body and of your privacy, of having to go through these scans that can see right through you. I mean, that is an invasion of our privacy. It's a physical attack. It's like being violated every time you fly. And not just once, but 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And then all of the racial profiling that happened at the airports. Because of the fear. Because Satan came and attacked our country on that day. And I believe specifically it was a demon of hate, of division, of racism, of prejudice. And obviously our country has already dealt with that in the past. And this has always been a sore subject for our country. But on that day, those demons were, it's almost like they were freed even more. I mean, have you ever experienced our country, if you're old enough to know, have you ever, do you ever remember this country going through so much racial stuff as it's happened, as it's been through in the last 20 years? I mean, I remember Rodney King before that. And of course, I'm not old enough, but of course we all remember the riots and before that, I'm talking about Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement of the 60s. Of course, our country has always dealt with issues of race and prejudice and hate and violence, but has it ever been as bad as it's been the last 20 years? Of course not. It's been horrible the last 20 years. You think of all the immigration stuff that we're dealing with right now as we speak in 2018. We're still trying to hate our neighbors, whether they're from Mexico or from Muslim countries, or they are people that are of a different color, or because they don't have the right documentation. It's not just simply wanting people to play by the rules. I'm all about playing by the rules. But it's this demonic influence that has come over our politicians and the average person online. I mean, just go to Facebook right now and just type in, "I support Obama," and just watch, see what happens. Or just type in, "I am for Bob," what's the guy's name? Bob Woodford's book called Fear, you know, Hating on Trump. Just type that. And actually, you may not get a lot of hate because, you know, most of us, we only talk to our friends, the people that think like us, but everyone else may not say anything, but they're hating on you. And it's not just, oh, okay, they're just from a different political party. No, there's hate. There is actual hatred in people's hearts. I remember just, I don't know, a year ago, I typed on my Facebook page something about social justice. As in, you know, helping the poor, helping the homeless, being with people that need food, water, you know, like normal things. And you should have seen people just simply go off on just that phrase, thinking that it was some communist thing. I mean, I just could not believe it. From people of faith, people, it doesn't matter who it is. That's just the way we talk now. That's just what's become normal. It's just, we just hate, we divide, we yell, we have horrible opinions of each other. In the church, at work, online, it doesn't matter. And I am convinced that that is a direct result of the attacks on 9/11 and the demonic and satanic influence that has taken over our nation. Now, by no accident, what has happened to the church in the last 20 years? I mean, just think of the church where you go. Well, do you even go to church, first of all? If you happen to go to church, I'm talking like every week, okay? Do you even go to church every week? I'm not trying to judge anybody here. I'm just simply stating the facts. Do people even go to church anymore? More than every 2 months, when you're not busy, when you're not working, when you're not tired, when you're not stressed, blah, blah, blah. The state of the church is never been worse. No one cares about the church. No one cares about God, Jesus, the cross, the resurrection. In fact, most people, regardless left, right, up, or down, they consider God anti-humanity. They consider the church as anti-love, anti-peace, anti-gosa, right? And so that's why our churches are empty, except for maybe 2 or 3 mega churches with rock star pastors, or maybe some of those few that are hanging on to the past and are still doing it maybe because they have some money saved up in the bank. But really, in terms of life, there's no life left in those churches. So it's no coincidence that, unfortunately, at the same time that evil has increased, love has decreased. And the problem is everywhere. I mean, just think of your job. I mean, how many people just leave with hate in their hearts, with just mad at their bosses, mad at their employees, mad at their co-workers, just we don't even know how to love anymore. But we have become experts at hate, whether you are honest about it. I can honestly say that I have given into division more times than ever in the last 20 years, maybe even in the last 5 years. And I mean, it's easy to blame Trump, but you know what? As people say, Trump is simply a reflection of our society. I didn't vote for him, but we chose Trump. We as a nation. You could even say that we as a world chose Trump, regardless of what you think of him and all the economics and we're all making more money, whatever. The moral degradation of what's happening in Washington is of Satan. It's just what it is. It's not of God. So what do we do? Well, I'm convinced that we as a church, and I don't mean churches and buildings, I mean you and I as people of God, we need to pray against satanic attacks upon our country, our homes, our families, and our churches. It's not enough just to go to a church and or hate on church or listen to your favorite Joel Osteen podcast. I mean, seriously, or Charles Stanley or whoever you listen to. It's not enough. You have to be in a church, in a place with other people. And you need to, and I need to, we need to work this out. We need to pray together. And it's not just about loving each other and forgiving our racism. You know, this is bigger than that. We need to actually ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit to once again come back to our country, come back to our homes, come back to into our hearts. And if He leads you to ask God, to ask your neighbor, your Latino friend or your African American neighbor for forgiveness, then do that. But maybe He's asking you for more than that. Maybe He's asking you to give your house to somebody else. Yeah, I said your house. Maybe He's asking you to, I don't know, get rid of your gas guzzler and buy an electric car because of all that's happening with climate control and with climate change. Maybe He's asking you to simply mentor a fourth grader after school at your local elementary school. Maybe He's asking you to invent the cure for cancer and AIDS. Maybe it's something very basic, like showing up on time to work and saying hello to the people that you work with. It might be that simple. But here's what I want to say. Don't try this at home without the Holy Spirit. You will be defeated because our battle is not against Trump. It's not against traffic. It's not against your boss. It's against spiritual forces that became stronger and really have gone pretty much untouched since 9/11, 2001. It is time to forget, not to remember all that stuff. It's time to forget the hate, forget the violence, forget division, forget hate, and it's time to remember love. It's time to remember love. If we're going to remember something today, we need to remember love. We need to remember Jesus being the center of our lives. Remember those days when you were so on fire for the Lord? Remember when you were a young boy or young girl, or maybe your first church, or when you went on that youth camp? Remember when you went to the mountains and you just thought, man, God is everything to me. Remember how that was? It's time to return to Jesus. Not alone, not on a hike, but in a church community. It's time to make the church great again. It's time to make the church of Jesus Christ great again. By the people of God, you and me, asking God to fill us with love once again, repenting of our sins, asking Him for forgiveness, saying, Lord Jesus, help me to just be humble. So on this day, my my appeal, my prayer is not that we remember. You know, it's not that we just simply cry over all the lives. I lost my father at a young age. I lost my grandfather when I was just a boy. I come from a war-torn country. So I understand the pain of loss, the sacrifice of the military, the horrors of war and of being attacked. I've been through people in airplanes and government literally dropping bombs on my house. I've been through that personally. That's not the way forward. We should not remember that. We need to forget the horrors of war and to never again go through that. And most of all, we need to stop with the hate and stop with the anger. At the micro level, at the macro level, at home, in your neighborhood, whatever the Spirit of God is asking you to do. We need to remember love. We need to remember the church. We need to remember Jesus. So here's some practical steps. First of all, ask God to give you love. Second, join your church immediately. Go to church every day if you can. If the church is open daily, go daily to pray. Ask your leader, your pastor, your friends to pray with you. Call him. Tweet your spiritual leader, your pastors, your friends, and say, you know what, guys, this is not working. Drinking or partying or just moving out or being mad or just wasting time playing video games or on Netflix. Guess what? This is not working, is it? Social media is not going to give you the love that you're looking for. Duh, right? It's not. Neither is your girlfriend or your parents. Guess what? They need love as much as you do. In fact, what we need is, number two, is we need more young men and women to be the spiritual leaders of their homes. It is time for you as a person of God, and really regardless of age, but I especially have a heart for the young people, for you to be the leaders once again of your homes. What does that mean? Hey, mom and dad, let's go to church. I need Jesus and so do you. I don't see you getting any better. You know, you're overweight, you're smoking, you're drinking, you're depressed. Again, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just talking real. Okay, these are the things that people deal with. And just because you're mad at the government or mad at this person or because, oh, now you got a new job and you're happy, don't think that that's going to bring you joy. Only Jesus will bring us joy. Only the joy of the Lord will last and will give you true peace in your heart. Maybe third and lastly, is just pray for peace. Pray for peace. I love the verse that it says that in Colossians 3, it says, and let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. What a beautiful, beautiful verse that is. I love that verse. I think it's in Colossians 3. I love that it says let. In other words, we have a choice to make. You might want to let war rule in your hearts. I meet a lot of people that it looks like they actually like war. They like to be constantly complaining and drama queens. Seems like they like that. But instead it says, let the peace of Christ. And then notice it says, let the peace of Christ. It's not drugs. It's not peace like Coachella will give you, or Burning Man, or drugs, or drinking, or pot, or drum circles. No, it says the peace of Christ. Make sure that you are asking Jesus for peace. It's not just any old peace, quote unquote. It's not the peace of the Beatles or the peace of man. It's the peace of Christ that we need. It says, let the peace of Christ. And then look at what it says here. It says, I'm just looking it up really quick, so I want to get it just right. And it says, let the peace of Christ. Let's see here in Colossians. I'm just looking it up really quick, so I want to quote it just right for you. Right here, Colossians 3. It says here, And let the peace of Christ rule. What a great word. That word rule, by the way, I'm looking it up here really quick. That word rule means, let me see here. It means to umpire. Wow, I love that. Brabeo, it's the Greek word. Brabeo. It's like an umpire at a baseball game. A baseball, the umpire says strike, ball, foul ball. In rule fly ball, whatever that's called. In other words, the umpire decides, right? What is in and what is out. It acts as a judge. That's what it says. Let the peace of Christ umpire your life. What a beautiful, beautiful statement that is. That's what the peace of Christ does. It lets you decide what you should and shouldn't do. And then it says, let it rule your hearts. It's not just your brain. It's cardia. You know, like cardiac, you know, like a cardiac, what is it, arrest, I think they call that. So that's the Greek word, cardia. It means the heart. It means your mind. It means your spirit. So in other words, let your gut, as we say, let the peace of Christ umpire your gut. Isn't that great? And be thankful, it says here, Colossians 3:15. That's what we need to pray for. That's what I want to invite you to do, is to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ, and be thankful. It says, let me read the verse once again, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Man, I could preach on that for hours. In other words, it says here that if you want to be one with other people, if you want to have friends, if you want to feel connected to people, you know how we all feel so disconnected? You know how we're going to get connected again? Is if you have peace in your hearts. It makes sense, right? And then it says, and be thankful. What a great, great passage. Maybe you want to just memorize that or write that in your phone or tweet that every day or whatever it may be. But I'm convinced that here on this September 11th anniversary, that we need to remember love. We need to remember the grace of God. We need to ask Jesus for his peace. The peace that is not like the world gives. It's the peace of Christ. And actually, you know what? While I'm thinking of peace, let me look up what the word peace here means. Did I already say peace? No, it means, oh yeah, of course, Irene. Like, you know, like the name Irene, it means peace. It means welfare, meaning the goodness of people. It's talking about something that is undisturbed. It's a beautiful word, you know, Irene, like Irene, it means peace, undisturbed. That's what Christ gives you. He gives you undisturbed connection with God. Don't you want to be undisturbed? That's what the word peace means. And let the undisturbed presence of Christ rule, be the umpire in your gut. To which indeed you were called in one body. So that means unite with other people and be thankful. Wow, what a great focus that is, isn't it? I hope that on this 9/11 that you can think on these thoughts, pray against the spirit of division, you know, and this is at many levels. It's epic. Pray at the epic level, absolutely. But also just make it simple. Keep it real. Are you mad in traffic? Pray against the spirit of anger. Are you mad at your boss, at your parents? Pray against the spirit of anger in you, not in your parents, in you. Do you feel like you walk into a room and there's like satanic forces and hate and depression? Anoint that place with oil. Claim the blood of Jesus over your house, your car, your room. Heck, throw your phone into the toilet if that's a source of demonic influence in your heart. You know, for a long time, I've always known that life is spiritual, but I'm not sure why or where. I kind of began to think that, you know, life is just all about decisions and about going to school and making money and trying to be happy, right? Well, I think that that's pretty much been kicked out of us, hasn't it? Nothing is working. Not your new girlfriend, not my new house, not my new church, not my new outfit. Nothing is changing the heart of man. In fact, it feels like things are even worse because there's no more Jesus in our hearts. So it's time for your eyes to be open. I hope that this morning, literally, that I'm ringing a bell to open your eyes to what's really been going on in your life. My guess is that you've known this. My guess is that my words are ringing true in your heart because you know that it's true. You've been feeling this way for a long, long time. It's time to wake up, my sons and daughters. It's time to wake up, saints. It's time to wake up, people of God, and to pursue the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding, to pray for peace, to walk away from the demonic influences of hate and violence and division and chaos, and to get real about church. Make the church great again. Become a member of your church. Get baptized. Give $100 every week. If you can't, every month to the church. It's not going to the pastor, trust me. It's going into your heavenly account. God will bless you if you volunteer, if you give your money, if you become a member of your local church, as long as they're preaching the word of God and they're speaking of Jesus. And if you don't have a place to go, come to my church, 9603 Belmont Street in Bellflower, California. My prayer for you today is that you will know that God loves you, that He's with you, not against you. I love you. I am thankful for you. Thank you so much. Subscribe to my podcast. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android. Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.